Just a quick update on who we have on the PPSC work group today. On Wednesday, the 19th of May, we have Avery Doria, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Sabaya from staff, Marika Konings, Gisela Gruber White. We have apologies from Ilya Bazlyankov. And if I could please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you.
Thanks very much, Marika. You've managed to pull up, Cheryl speaking, you've managed to pull up the first question, I believe, or will be soon, that that Sabaya wanted to raise on the discussion point about examples. But Sabaya, perhaps over to you so you can share with Avery and I your particular question.
I just wanted to, under the translation, there was a second point that Inter made regarding, you know, soliciting, I guess, more widely, making sure that relevant areas are covered, you know, when you acquire people, trademark area, legal area, and so on. And I didn't see how that related to the actual section they were making the points to. That makes sense? Maybe they were talking about another section when they put that comment down there?
This is Marika. I just read through it as well, and I suspect as well that it relates to another section, but I can't quickly figure out either where it
belongs. So my only thought there was... and secondly, then, you know, it's a matter of, clearly I should be on top of this and be able to go find it, but obviously I'm not. So somewhere else we've talked about it, I guess, and I guess he's making the point regarding that. And, I mean, since we're on this point, it seems to me not unreasonable that if you're going to be, you know, if we're asking, you know, generally soliciting for everybody, then we should, you know, try our best to also solicit for people in areas that might be of particular relevance to that working group committee, for example, you know, technical expertise or legal or whatever. That was my thought in that, even though it wasn't. And since we are on that point anyway, that email, that is only one of the points about the languages. I've made all my points now through email, so it's there. But since the language seems reasonable, and suggest this set of languages, you know, as a starter, suggestion only. So.
Okay. Avery, any points on that?
On the languages?
No,
I thought it was a big set, but, you know, they're all reasonable. So, I tend to be, you know, sort of, it's funny for me to refer to myself this way, but conservative in that and always strike out for the UN 6. But I understand, you know, the reasonableness of adding the others. I think when I look at things like, and you know, I hope I can say this without being insulting, when I look at things like Japanese and Korean being on the list, and I know that their English and written English is often better than mine, I don't know how necessary it is, but certainly, you know, as there's no reason to say no to those languages. I do think it's a lot, but I think it's a reasonable set.
Yeah, but I don't think we're requiring them, are we? We're just simply saying this is a suggested list based on, your ability to, you know, the cost and ability to do this, right?
The problem becomes for the staff is then they have to make a decision. Now, perhaps they can make a decision based on some statistical basis that says, listen, nobody ever, you know, we've been putting out the Japanese and the Korean for a year, and nobody ever does those. Or they can put out an analysis that says, you know, to translate it into these nine as opposed to six, adds X amount, plus doing these is far more expensive, therefore. But it forces the staff to basically have to give reasons for constraining the suggested set. And so that would be my only reason for saying maybe we should have a minimal set that, of course, they could go beyond. But that would be my only reason.
But I guess we have a minimal set that we agreed to on a sort of the UN basis, haven't we? I mean, we have a set of four or five or six that ICANN's already been doing.
But Sabaya, many work groups are very clear. They will work in English currently. And
that is a disadvantage for an
internationalizing organization.
Yeah. No, my point is that I think we agreed that English will be the working language. It's only the question of, you know, translations being provided. And right now, we've already, ICANN over the last years has committed to a small set of languages that are UN-based, right? I mean, the five or six or whatever. And while we'll be, if Avery's looking for minimally requiring something, kind of, then, well, that will be the set to focus on, and all these other languages are good choices for depending on cost or whatever issues that I can have to decide on.
I think perhaps some language, if I may just recognise myself for a moment, some language we could look towards is fit for purpose. There are clearly times when particular topics will have a greater requirement for certain languages. If you're, for example, doing a work group that happens to be specifically of interest to the brushstroke scripts, then your CGK is going to be, you know, what you need to add in there. And I think that comes to what Avery was speaking about in terms of the metrics. You know, we need to test the need and have some sort of decision.
My take on it is, I'm agreeable with all this, as far as decision-making. But my own kind of, if I could, I understand the limitations of doing this, but my own take on it is a different perspective, which is, we're talking about the internet for everybody in the world, every language in the world, and there's a lot of money being spent, trillions of dollars on this thing, okay? And ICANN, everybody's making tons of money, okay? And domain names are very small cost, relatively speaking. So it's not that nobody reads it or use it. It's true, most of these things that we put out, probably if you put it in Amharic, nobody reads it. But that's not why we do a lot of things. We don't do things because they're practical. we do things because it's the right thing to do. So we do as much as we can. We do that, right? It's to send the message that we are. And that's what you're countering. It's not just simply we translated it and, we wanted you to know. It's more that, we've understood your needs. We're a cooperative organization. And that's it. If I was practical, I'd be doing a lot more things to my kids than than I'm doing to them, right? So the reality is, it's a lot of cost, but how much is this added cost, and to be inclusive? And that's the logic. And that's how, unfortunately, people who come from the third world think. You got so much money to do all these things. How come you can't look after us? Whereas we think it's the money that we've already spent $1 million. How come it's going to cost another $100,000? Does that make sense?
From an AMAC point of view, Sabah, I hear what you're saying, and we agree. And it's also a matter of there is a difference between these hard costs and the perceived benefits. And if we did a cost-benefit analysis on some of these things, we'd come out with very, very different metrics.
Right.
But what I'm hearing on this point is a general acceptance for the comment with some language that says you don't necessarily need to have all languages for all things at all times, obviously, and that the work group needs some flexibility and ability to work with staff to ensure that the right choices are made. Does that sound
about
right?
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Please, go ahead, Marika.
The comment I want to make is the language that is here doesn't talk about any specific languages. It just talks about, providing a range of different languages. This is taken directly from the translation principle. So if we would suddenly go and put in certain languages or recommendations, I think we're moving into a different direction than providing general guidelines. So I'm wondering if that is the proposal that we suddenly now are going to suggest languages that need to be translated, and if it doesn't get us into a situation where this group is trying to make choices of one language over the other and whether that's not better dealt with, because I know that they're working on a new translation policy, I've been told, because this is an issue as well that has been discussed in the PDP work team. So I'm just wondering if they're not opening a can of worms that maybe at this stage is not...
Hearing more things should be fit for purpose than it was. So whilst Avery was saying she tends to go for the six UNs, but there are others. I thought we weren't trying to be at all specific.
Are there any changes you want to make to the language that's there, and just pointing out that this is language is verbatim taken from the translation principles that were adopted, by the board and through the proper processes? So that's a question.
Okay, here's a solution. We can put language in there to say, if there's another committee deciding what the translation languages are, why don't we just say, look, the translation that we'll look to that, whatever the translation policy in those languages, which right now seems to include the six UN languages, and we suggest that additional languages, right, may have to be selected depending on the working group and what they're trying to do. Fair enough?
I actually think it would probably just be sufficient to Zavri to say in accordance with the translation policy as defined by ICANN and leave it at that and make findings for languages. And if we have a list of languages, we better include Swahili. But anyway, I agree with not putting in a list of languages, not even my UN Basic Six. If there is a translation policy being driven, then that's where we should go, you know, on, and perhaps a list of appropriate languages, you know, as opposed to fit for purpose, but, you know, as defined or in accordance with the ICANN translation policy, I think would be a way to do it.
Just to point out, there is an editorial note at the end that basically says that additional recommendations made by other teams or committees, such as the OSC or the Public Participation Committee, may be added once available as appropriate. So we can add there as well, additional made by other teams, committees, or the ICANN board, or what would be the body adopting to cover, basically saying, like, look, if anything else gets adopted, this will be updated accordingly. Would that address the comments that have been raised?
Yeah. And then, I mean, we'd have to, the Zavri again, have to address INTA's comment of, you know, in the answers of saying it's difficult, you know, because we'd have to add a bunch of those because why is my language not on the list? And we've decided to, you know, stick with board-approved recommendations for translation policy.
That's the best way forward, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, this is Margaret. Just to clarify, do we want to add anything, or as it is now, it's basically covered that, you know, if anything new gets adopted, this will be updated, and for now we just follow the translation principle as adopted by ICANN.
Yeah, and does it actually say that clearly right now, the translation policy as adopted by ICANN?
Yeah, this is ICANN uses the following translation principles.
Oh, I see. Perhaps you can be, you know, more specific and say, you know, in any general policy that ICANN adopts or whatever, you know, I don't know. Right. I mean, basically we're saying... No. What I'm trying to say is that when I read that, I don't come away with the sense that there is a specific policy for translation that ICANN has somewhere else actively worked on. I didn't come away with that. That's it. Yeah.
I can look at there. I think this is taken from, I don't know why, I think this is part of a document, so I can provide the link to that so people can go and look for...
Correct, and then that would be a way out, right?
That's a good way out. Avery, you're happy with that?
Sure.
Okay. All right, well, Sabaya, you've had one, and I know you don't have much time, but let's bat the ball across to Avery and take the first on her list of questions or comments. More
Although,
to the point.
If
can we move back up to the top of the session then for general meeting logistics and beyond?
Yeah. I have fairly quick answers on 401. I think there are more answers for how to respond to INTA than changes in some of them. But the one was saying we need a toll-free number for everywhere in the world. Well, I think that becomes impossible, and that's being taken care of by anybody that wants to call back getting one. And so I think that is to respond and no change needed. The one that sort of...
No.
Go ahead.
Or is that possible? Is it possible to just weave in your point into the text itself, you know, what you wanted to say, that it's been covered? I don't know. That's another possibility,
In other words, I think if I understand Tobias' point, is as opposed to saying that is taken care of by the Secretariat in the answer to INTA, to basically make sure that point, but it already says that GNSOK will also be able to assist with providing dialogue support if required by working group members.
Okay, and perhaps
so
we can
that's
be
already there.
I mean, okay, yeah, but I was just thinking that since the question is, the driving force of the question is no one should be barred.
So
this is Marika. Can I wait to clarify these? Because maybe they think that for most countries, maybe they assume that, you know, we make some kind of selection for which countries we provide.
Yeah. That's
but the solution be for countries that were available, toll-free numbers will be provided.
Yeah.
For countries where available. would that solve the issue and make sure that...
I think it might be a little bit improper to say that ICANN's intent here, the WG's intent here, is not to... is that no one should be barred from participating because of cost or something. Does that make sense? I mean, the intent,
If I can just recognise myself for a moment, my concern on this sentence actually was the use of GNSO specific to Secretariat when we had been trying very hard general. So the whole of Section 4.1, in my totally humble and very biased opinion, we need to have the letters GNSO removed from in front of Secretariat everywhere. And then to your particular points, it might just need to be a rejigging of the sentences to say that for either dial out support or toll-free numbers where available will be used to facilitate work group members' involvement and engagement, something along those lines, rather than sort of make it possible to read, I have a toll-free number. I have a toll-free number in Australia, but I get a dial-out because it works better.
Oh, I see.
So if we just rejig that sentence to say, that we'll provide dial-out support and or toll-free numbers where they are available to facilitate work group interaction or something.
Okay.
Avery, you're better at wordsmithing than I am.
Yeah, I thought your first try was fine.
Okay, well, listen to the tape and write it down, Marika. Next one on that.
Okay, the next one, and this one repeats once again later when they're talking about stuff. But the other point was talking about secure, sensitive nature of some working group activities. First of all, I didn't think we were supposed to have many of those.
Mm.
So I would tend to sort of say, I think everything's supposed to be transparent. Now, in my, I guess, almost 6 years of participation, there has been, there has been one case where the working group felt that some information needed to be confidential because it would have told fishers too much about how to fish successfully or some such thing. So, so there might be a reason to add a sentence in extraordinary circumstances where a certain amount of confidentiality in the materials of the working group is required, that will be dealt with.
I'm
but
totally
for the most part,
that.
I think everything has to be open. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm totally agreeable with that. But the one thing I wanted to point out is that the whole thing is transparent doesn't necessarily conflict with saying, the system should be secure and, outside should be hacked, right? I mean, it just in that sense of security, right? I mean, and I think I'm not sure whether the interest comment was meant from the point of just, sort of a particular confidential document or something. I think they just felt that the whole thing should be, secure. And I think maybe that, but besides that, I think I was also for a carve out sentence which says that if there's cases, extraordinary cases where confidential has to be kept, then, system should be secure enough to be able to handle that.
So, Sabah, just to be clear, you're calling for a strengthening of the sentence that indicates that things that are meant to be secure are secured properly.
In an extraordinary circumstances, we have that. I mean, I'm just thinking of a wild situation tomorrow, okay? There is something going on, we're at war, right? Or something, some dramatic thing is going on, okay? Terrorists holding... I mean, it's not inconceivable. It's happened already a couple of times, I think, in Eastern Europe during the wartime and other things. It could be, and we find ourselves, believe it or not, in the U.S. or something like that, because we're a corporation or whatever. Somebody says Patriot Act, whatever, and somebody's, something... we're in the middle of a meeting and some WG is working, and that WG is now presented with some confidential information that it needs sensitively to act on something, you know, terrorism, something or other. And some set of controlling people who happen to control ICANN at the time, whether you like it or not, are saying, look, do this from the top, right? Now, will at that time, at the time you need to act, is your systems going to be secure enough, I mean, software and so on and so forth, right, that it's protected? I mean, it was built to be secure so that when you had to discuss something securely, it was available rather than in general, which you didn't care and we didn't invest in firewalls, you know what I mean, you know. So that's the only...
Okay.
That's what
Avery, can I ask you to respond to that, remembering that we would be talking about in the rare and exceptional circumstances where material is of a sensitive or confidential nature?
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Yeah, I agree with that phrase.
Well, we don't have sentencing in there that indicates that the lock and on the doors on these things have to be held. So I was just thinking, as Savai was speaking, the matters of some work groups or committees which do act and have access to material of a sensitive nature, for example, work under strict confidentiality, so the equivalent to the work group members are requested to sign and to be bound by confidentiality agreements. We haven't ventured into this at all in this document, but Sabaya's question sort of raised that in my mind. In the very rare and exceptional circumstances where material of a sensitive or confidential nature is being discussed under Section 4.1, Paragraph 2, do we need to put any language in there?
If we do, we could put in something like, you know, using that whole phrase that you just had, in those cases, a separate procedure will need to be drawn out and agreed to for that. And basically...
Sort of thing.
So, for example, you guys in AOC, if you were following the AOC letter alphabet review team, were, you know, deciding to use the working group stuff because it had worked so well, but because some of your stuff was confidential, you would have to establish a process for yourself at the beginning of the working group for such materials. And not leave it an open thing, not spend a lot of time now trying to define what one would be, but just sort of say, in those rare circumstances where it may be required, the working group is responsible for defining appropriate processes and procedures at the beginning of the working group. And just leave it.
Which then it slips in just before such services must be secure, et cetera, et cetera. So it's such services and processes, work group processes.
Or would we need anything there? Basically, then they figure out what they need.
Okay.
This is Jay Scott. I'm sorry, guys.
Hi, Jay. How's your cat?
Oh, hi, Jay Scott.
She's doing okay.
It's all yours, and we're partway through 4.1.
She's losing her back hip function.
Oh, dear.
So, and we live in a four-story home, so we had to go have an emergency. But they seem to think she's just getting old.
Yeah, I've got old animals. That's what we're seeing.
So I guess I just would be grateful I can still make it up the stairs with her in my arms. So,
Both of you be careful and just deal with her quality of life and her pain management.
Yeah. So here we are with 4.1. I take it, whose comments were you just dealing with of the comments listed underneath?
We were dealing, I think, with mine, my very, very late comments.
Yeah. Oh, your solution to the comment. My question was, whose comment were we addressing? GoDaddy, Chuck Gomes, or INTA?
Oh, INTA, I believe.
INTA.
Okay.
INTA.
All right. And everyone's satisfied with where you left off? The solution, I heard some language.
I think we were getting there. Yeah.
Okay.
The balance we had was between trying to describe how, in those rare occasions where there would need to be sensitive material kept confidential, and the general case, whether we wanted to define a process now, or what I was suggesting was saying, in those rare circumstances, it will be up to the working group at the beginning of its tenure to decide on processes and procedures for maintaining that sensitive material.
should they need to, I just throw this out to the group, should there be something that says that that the confidentiality needs to be approved by the chartering organization?
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, so you come up with, oh, we think this needs to be, and then you go back to the chartering organization and say, we think certain things need to be confidential. Here's what they are, and here's our process. And the and the chartering organization can say yay or nay.
Excellent.
I think you can make it. You can make that more general by saying just working in conjunction with the CO or CO approval, because sometimes the CO that asks you to do it, rather than the WG asking up, it could be both.
All right.
Ways, so.
So where do we want to put that? We need to throw that.
A clause to say that, you know, working in conjunction with the CO.
Okay.
Because some autonomy fees were wanting to put
language. Yeah, I'm saying in the language itself, where do we going to put it?
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have anything about confidential information? Where is that, Marika, in here?
I don't think there is anything in here just saying that all meetings are normally transcribed and recorded. And
where are we?
I mean,
start over again, Marika. All meetings are where? Where are we?
In the second paragraph, we talk about meetings are normally recorded and transcribed. I don't think we actually talk here specifically about. I'm just quickly looking through it, and you know, just to comment as well, I think I agree with Avery. I mean, if a working group would feel a need for having that kind of information secured, they can set it up in
well,
you know,
here's
their,
one of the things I would do
charter.
Is I would move to facilitate remote participation sentence and put it after to facilitate participation, period. In addition to facilitate remote participation and sharing of documents, blah, 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 move that sentence after the word participation in that second paragraph.
I'm confused.
So I would move the last sentence in the paragraph that begins to facilitate remote participation.
Mm-hmm.
I would move that up so it's now the second to last sentence in the paragraph.
Okay.
All right. And then because it says to facilitate after to facilitate, I think I would put in addition or additionally, comma, to facilitate. And then the last sentence talks about as described above, right? Now, is that correct? That's how it'll read. The last sentence will be, as described above, these things are normally
meetings are normally recorded
and transcribed. Then I think that's where I would put Avery's sentence about in the rare.
Can I make a further recommendation on that? Actually, we might actually be starting another paragraph. I have no problem with your rearranging. And basically, a paragraph says, there is a presumption of full transparency in all working groups, period.
Yeah.
And then the other one,
yeah.
In the extraordinary event that a working group may feel the need for confidentiality, you know, it is the responsibility of that working group to propose a set of processes and procedures for such confidentiality in cooperation with the chartering organization. That's close. I realized that I was getting to Sabaya's there, because it would be not the work group would feel, but in the rare extraordinary event that the working group should need should require confidentiality, something like that, and leave it up to where that requirement, whether that requirement is coming from the chartering organization or the work group.
Avery, just to clarify the last bit, it would mean it is up to that working proposed a set of rules and procedures that will need to be approved by the chartering organization.
No, in collaboration.
Right. I was going to Sabaya's recommendation. The working to propose a set of rules and procedures in collaboration with the yeah.
Okay.
That looks good.
Yep, that does look good.
Okay.
All right. Is everybody comfortable with that?
The only thing I might suggest is presumption of full transparency. So nobody says, well...
Okay. I don't have a problem with the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We live in a time and age when we have to qualify that word as well, right?
Okay.
Believe it or not, yes. Right now, and I'm putting on my AOC
hat. We have lawyers on the call.
No, it hasn't got to do with the lawyers. You will hear language about how opaque transparency is.
In the US, we call it read my lips, and the question is when.
Okay, so we've got that. Okay, now, what was the comment you were working on?
Okay, that was actually a duplicate. There's two comments. This was in 4.1. They had two comments for INTA. They had it for...
the confidentiality.
Right, the confidentiality. So we covered that one.
Okay.
Then there was the one about...
Timing,
that one day for an agenda wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And my point was that I also actually said 2 days. I said kind of 2 or 3 days is recommended, no later than 24 hours. I mean, that was the way
right.
I thought.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
That's fine.
And I'm comfortable with that.
This is Marika. I mean, I agree it's nice to put it in there, but, you know, reality is it's
I mean, it says the same thing. We say at least 24 hours, so
yeah.
I think we just leave it alone.
Right.
The reality is if you make it any more than 24 hours, they're never going to do it. It's constantly going to be violated. So.
Yeah, because the problem is as well with weekly calls, you know,
right. Just
wrapping up and getting your action points out and documents before, you know, and weekends that are in between and
right. Chairs
that are in different time zones. I mean, 24 hours is already really difficult and not often met.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that the person writing this was paid attention to what seems to happen. For example, they say it should be possible to send in amendments to the agenda by email as opposed to just at the beginning of the meeting, and it was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, do we need to say that?
That's all right. Some people do actually work and live in a parallel universe, I've decided, Avery.
Okay, at start of the meeting, the chair should review the agenda, and working members may propose items to be added to or changed. We could put a sentence that says, likewise, the chair should acknowledge any... additional agenda items that have been submitted via email.
Okay.
If I may, J. Scott, I have a little bit of a problem if we change that language to be too prescriptive.
Okay.
I'm working on what actually happens as opposed to what might be nice to happen in a democratized, globalized world. Notice they're two different things. And I come from a space where one is more likely than the other, that the practice where one calls for an amendment to an agenda at the beginning of a meeting is a good one because it allows the work group to interact.
Right.
And if things have come in by email, fine, but you can get some annoying little people that... big people, perhaps, some annoying individuals who will just pre-flood via email. And if we set things that says, you know, if it's come in via email, then we have to have some formal process.
Okay.
I'm not too comfortable with that.
Well, and they can acknowledge, if they do that, then the email submitter can say, I submitted something by email.
I can recommend perhaps two wording changes that might make it easier and aren't terribly prescriptive. Can circulate a draft agenda. So that indicates that it's open for discussion as a draft agenda.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then at the start of the meeting, the chair should review the agenda and working group
call for any proposed amendments.
Should review the agenda and any proposed changes to that agenda.
Yes. I mean, the standard process, you know, at board meetings is, right at the beginning, the first call is, this is the agenda. Do you have any other items you want to add
then,
to the end?
And yeah, just
right.
Take the rest of that out. Okay, so, that works.
So whether it happens in email before or during.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
That's
it
great.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Flexibility there is important. Good.
All right. What other things do we want to cover in this session?
Okay, I'll have to run, but I think on all the other points I've made my half a sentence. One
okay.
Thing, I think. Okay, by email. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, there's one recommendation by BG, which says remote participation facilities might be available, and change that to best effort should be made to provide remote facilitation facilities. Yeah, that seems like a nice change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
That's what happens anyway.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. It was
I mean, it's gotten a lot better in my view. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it was when we first started this.
It's improving, yeah.
This waltz. Okay, so where are you going to add the best efforts language?
That was in the, replacing the sentence in the third paragraph.
Third paragraph.
Last sentence in the third paragraph.
Oh, I see. Best efforts should be made.
Yeah, it's a nice change.
Okay. You should probably capitalize that if it's new.
Yeah, the problem is I'm going to have to retype the whole sentence. It doesn't go that easy here.
Okay.
It will come up in the document,
right.
Of course, when I make
right.
The change.
Yeah.
There.
All right.
If I want to do it quickly, I'm afraid that doesn't work here. Copy
okay.
And paste. No.
Have we worked through all of these?
There was one other comment we had about
the face-to-face meeting one.
And basically,
there was the question on face-to-face meetings and the urgency and the situations where they may or may not be, and how you're going to get geographic balance and blah blah blah.
So,
have I dropped out?
No.
Oh.
I heard you. I'm just reading. Did anybody address that in their comments?
Yeah.
Any of our folks?
Yeah.
Aubrey actually dropped off. Her battery died.
That's
and she's saying the word vital in the sentence should already cover it.
Okay.
She's talking about the vital in the...
Yeah, if it's vital for its deliberations and or reaching consensus, blah, blah, blah. And because that follows the best efforts to provide remote participation, I think some of the other points that was being made in that comment, we can respond to it by saying exactly that, that we've recognised best efforts must need to be made to facilitate remote participation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as far as GoDaddy is concerned, their comments seem to me to be something the chartering organization would decide. I mean, that's not for the working group to decide. Working group can ask. The chartering organization can come back and say, well, exactly why do you need this? You need to show us X, Y, and Z. But that's for them to do. So, there are innumerable situations that might not fall into that list. So I think we're fine the way it is.
I agree. And I believe Avery does as well with the word vital in the sentence covering it. Oh, good, she's dialing back in. In responses, though, in our little call-out boxes to respond to the various comments, Marika, can we address that last sentence where they suggest, you know, we ask this work team to consider the experiences of other working groups who have blah, blah, blah. Shouldn't we just bat that back and say it's a CO responsibility, not a work group or ours?
Yeah, I'll add that.
Yeah, we felt like the charting work,
yeah.
that there are a myriad of unique situations that could make a work group believe that they need to have a meeting face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the charting organization, depending on whatever that myriad is, that particular recipe that calls the working group to do that, may want to put some structure around that and say, okay, we hear you, but here's what we need, A, B, and C. But that's not for us to do, because
exactly.
It can be different in every situation.
Yep. Well, I think we've reacted to GoDaddy's comments, and is that it for Section 4.1?
Is Aubrey back?
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
We basically think you're right, that Vital works.
Good.
And that we're just going to say what we just said to GoDaddy in a call out that just says, you know, we think it's covered. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's rock.
Okay. Translation we covered. So we covered 4.3, right?
Yeah, we did. Jay Scott, we've already done 4.3.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not quite as bad as you thought.
Remember, I don't have a vote. I just sort of try to move things forward.
I'm just telling you where we're up to. Like you're trying to control a runaway train here today, remember?
Okay, here we are on five.
Did Sabaya have comments? Sabaya may have comments. My last-minute comment was on CG's... wait a second. We're on five? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay, we're on five. Yeah, that was a reasonable thought. Their comment is, won't these links get stale? And, yeah, links will get stale. There'll be updates to the constituency statement or ever, so I'm not sure what the right way to refer to it. Refer to it by name, refer to it by something, but, or, you know, does the staff just have to make sure that when the link gets stale, they go back and update it? I don't know.
And this is Marika. I mean, CG is suggesting general links, and I'm not really sure what those general links would be because it's not a place where we have templates or anything like that. And at least, you know, I think the wikis, those might indeed be links that, you know, might get outdated with changes. But I would hope that the GNSO website would, you know, that would remain for a while, but maybe this is indeed an issue just to review over time. Or if someone knows, you know, what are considered general links, I'm happy to look there and then include others.
Well, I mean, one way to do it, and the IETF had the same problem, where they referred to things as RFCs, and those numbers changed as the policies changed over the years. Eventually, they came up with a numbering system, which was, they called it their BCP's best practices, where, you know, a public comment review sheet would always be BCP1, and it would always contain the latest. And so, basically, if ICANN wanted to do such a thing of having strictly numbered set of policies, and that policy always was the latest approved one, and that would be one way to do it, but that's a whole structure you'd have to think about.
Well,
otherwise,
I mean,
I think just go with the name.
Is he talking about the fact that the links that we've given above will eventually become stale?
Yeah.
Well, then I would just suggest that, you know, we put a call out that says it's recognizable that could occur, therefore the GNSO should update this section during its yearly review and insert relevant links.
Yeah, the other way to do it would be that there is some space that always says summary principles recommended implementation guidelines, and it's guaranteed to always be the latest. That's the other thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I would like to come down on my preference for that, because I think naming conventions and tracking of document conventions go to ongoing accountability.
All these are just examples, right? These are just examples to say.
Yeah.
He's talking about the links in our report could go stale because we could develop a whole new system. Well, it seems to me that if one of the things of the GNSO is they're supposed to look at this yearly, correct? And make any adjustments that might be necessary,
you're right.
Then the one thing we just say is this should be handled by the GNSO during its annual review, and the best examples should be inserted in the appropriate links accordingly there, too, or something to that extent. We acknowledge
it. Can I again ask that we don't specify just to the GNSO that we use the terms chartering organizations? And
well, it's the GNSO that is going to review this. These working group guidelines.
True.
So what you could say the GNSO or any other organization that adopts this model.
Yeah, just to you know how people can get.
But it's a GNSO we've recommended to look at this yearly, and I'm just saying that they would know one of their checklist things is, okay, on 5, do we need to update these links? Yes. We think XYZ is a better work product example. We think this is a better comment review sheet. We think this is a better, you know, example.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, let's move.
Okay, I think I had a comment in 6, and then I think I was almost done after that. Yep, because I didn't get more done, and that was a simple one, but we're at the end of the hour. The INTA was recommending that we be stronger in our adherence to the key guidelines, including certain ones. And, you know, I have... My comment is I have absolutely no objection with saying, you know, these are strongly recommended guidelines. But, and I think this goes along well with what Cheryl's been saying, that at all times we have to remember that these are guidelines and each group is going to decide and their chartering organization is going to accept or not accept if they want to deviate from them. And, okay. And so... You know, that was my only point. I don't mind making the language stronger as long as it's...
Still flexible.
Yeah, that one.
And Tobias's comment was, cannot harm to take up what they suggest. So.
Yeah, well, he usually wants a stronger, and that's been one of the push-pulls in our comments all the way through. You know, the word now is that it may consider or utilize. And here they're saying can consider. Can and may are, of course they can. They always can. May is actually stronger than can. But, you know, go to should.
Yeah, I would
I mean,
go
it's
to
okay
should.
To say they should consider them, you know. Whether I would go so far as to say should utilize, that gets strong, but they should certainly consider them.
They should
consider and or utilize. We're not saying that we're saying that at a minimum you have to consider them.
And there's and as appropriate as a get out of jail free card anyway. So.
Yeah. With the charter guidelines, again, do we actually need the word GNSO in that first sentence? Or can we say this section of the document is intended to suit any chartering organization in its effective implementation?
I would just, I don't think we need to say anything. I just say take out within the GNSO.
Yeah. Clearly, I'm keen to make these generically used.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Okay, that was it for any comments I had. So Biot went further than I did. But then again, we're 4 minutes after the hour. I don't know how.
Yeah, we haven't. We're supposed to be 90 minutes today.
Oh, we're supposed to be 90 minutes. Oh,
yeah.
Gee. Okay. Well,
so,
then I didn't get any further words in Sabaya's comments.
But if we can react to them as we go through, maybe.
Sure. Okay, INTA. While there's language and subject, recognizes the importance of circulating the call for volunteers is why this is possible. Goes on to state that the publication of GNSO and our ICANN site and that distributed stakeholder groups should be explored depending upon the scope of the working group and its intended subject matter. The committee recommends that publication distribution be required as the default, subject to exceptions only in extraordinary circumstances.
Probably has to do, this is Avery, with definition of the word should. Should to me and this is perhaps, again, IETF training, but should to me means it would be must, except that there may be exceptions. So that's what they're asking for. And so I don't know if it needs to be worded to you know.
We could always say that. The following avenues must be explored.
Sure.
Must be explored.
Subject to expulsion only in extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah.
Or actually, their sentence is good, too. Publication distribution be required as the default rule subject to expulsions.
Yeah.
It's always nice to give a comment to their sentence.
Depending upon the scope of the work
or
intended subject matter, comma, publication, the following avenues are required as the default rule. Okay. I'm with you, Marika. Follow me, okay?
Oh,
so
okay.
The sentence that reads, depending the scope of the working group's intended subject matter, comma, the following avenues are required as the default rule, comma, subject to exception only in extraordinary circumstances.
And get rid of must.
Yeah. And get rid of must be explored at a minimum. Ideally, complimentary notes should include the following types of amendment.
Doesn't it miss a verb? The following avenues are required to be explored or to be contacted or...
I would say to be utilized.
Yep, we're happy.
I'm thinking.
Yep. Looks good to me.
The only thing I'm thinking of is somewhere do we want to, like, put a paragraph between the last bullet point that begins circulation of announcement and before, ideally, it just states that nothing in this section should limit the working group from wider distribution of the call for volunteers beyond the required minimum listed above. In other words, if they want to do more than that, we're not saying you can't. Do we want to put something like that in there? We could put that before the additionally sentence and put that and say, for example, comma, the working group can consider bullet point circulation of announcements to organizations that are considered. So, no, Marika, go back and put that, for example, where additionally is. Okay. And then delete additionally. And then go back before, for example, and put nothing in the foregoing is intended to limit wider distribution of the call for volunteers, period. For example, the working group could consider blah. Okay? You see what I'm saying? I just want to put in the fact that we're not being so prescriptive to say you only can do the two bullet points. I think we're saying that's required, but nothing is makes you go beyond the requirement. So here's an example. Am I losing people?
No, no.
How about you, Aubrey?
No, I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's. I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. Let's go. The dilithium crystals are draining.
I think they're drained, but go on.
I'm going to say
purpose
some of us are running on empty already.
Third sentence says a chair should not become an advocate.
Okay.
You know,
and who's M.O.?
Michael Connor. Mikey.
Okay. So Mikey is saying that they should never vote or poll. And so he's going to the other extreme from DG. That's
yeah.
Chuck, right?
That's Chuck. Yeah.
And so we're nicely in the middle between the two Connors. Basically, we're saying it should be avoided. But then again, you know, sometimes they would. And I think voting or polling, if they're members of the group, I don't see the problem.
That's what I've done. I mean, have you all felt? I've always said, well, here's my opinion, but I've never forced anything.
Right.
I think that we would. That's what we point out in our bullet point is we think we have a nice middle ground between the two positions, and that there's an appeal process in place if somebody believes this is being abused.
The only thing that we might put as a response to those comments, but we could consider putting it in as an option, which is batting it back to the chartering organisation, is that from time to time the chartering organisation may require an independent chair.
Right.
And that should come sort of pre-working group formation. So, you know, dear potential working group, here is the person who is your independent chair, and they can be even an outside consultant with particular expertise. Gather yourselves around this individual. But it should be up to the CO.
And, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm generally an advocate for co-chairs, is because
yep.
that also permits having a chair who cares about the subject and basically occasionally say, listen, I'm taking off chair hat, you know, and other person is the arbitrating chair, and, you know, I'm just speaking my mind. I don't think they should ever be strong advocates in a group, but, you know, there are times when they really should be able to state their opinion, especially since you want a chair who really understands the subject matter.
Or alternatively, Avery, if it's going to be a matter of such contentious nature and you've got a sort of a 50-50 antagonistic split in your potential work group members, that's when you put in an experienced third-party independent
right.
chair who
yeah.
has the necessary wrangling and arbitration skills to get the job done.
You're right. For example, it's quite reasonable at the moment in vertical integration that we have neutral chairs.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Do we want to put after the chair as well as allowing group leaders to rotate their participation in the discussion, period? In addition, the chartering organization...
I guess this might be another one of those in extraordinary circumstances. You know, the charter organization may decide that an outside
expert
should act.
Why don't we do that? Because, again, that's what happened in the IRP.
Does it need to be extraordinary, every, or in particular?
I don't know. I usually think that
I think you could say, I wouldn't say particular, I'd say in certain. An extraordinary looks like an emergency.
Rather than it may not be an emergency,
it may be that it's just the subject matter. So in addition, in certain circumstances, CEO may decide that it must appoint a completely neutral chair.
Did we use neutral or the term independent in your world?
Independent is fine.
Okay.
Or we may say both, neutral and independent chair.
Yeah, neutral independent chair who would not participate in the substance of the discussions.
Yep.
Period. Under such circumstances, the chair will be appointed by the CEO.
Yeah, that's a good point, just to make it really clear. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
So in other words, you come with your chair, as opposed to having that election process.
Right.
Okay. And in the case of, for example, our at-large selection for a board member, we have a regionally balanced work group whose job it is to reduce the statements of interest down to a slate of candidates.
One of the
things the ALAC appoints a chair that has no voting ability.
Marika, we need to go back up to the first meeting provisions. I'm just telling you this for editorial. And where it says elect a chair, you need to put subject to the exception or stated in 6.13 or something to that effect, so that they know that you normally elect a chair, but if you've been given a chair under 6.1, something like that.
Yeah, good. Okay. Good catch.
And we probably need to put something in the chartering organization document section that says, in circumstances, you may want to choose a chair. So we may want to add something to that template. I'm just trying to get it all to click so we cover all the bases. We tell them, the people when they read this, most normally you're going to do this. We tell them as part of the chair, they're normally going to be thing, but in those situations where it's got to be completely independent, you'll be given a chair, and we need to tell the chartering organization in that section that if it's a particularly, you know, under certain circumstances, they may wish to appoint a chair, and we just need to make sure we tell them that in the particular section that applies to them.
Ismerick, I can try to find the appropriate chair.
Okay, I'm not, but it's somewhere in that other section.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Didn't we do that?
In the first replacing should...
That's 6.1.
That is so minuscule. Fine. And that's my group. I mean, should consider is just, it's a suggestion. These are best practices anyway. That's the reason we put them down. We've identified as the group that there are other important roles. I don't think it's beyond our experience, given what we have to say, you know, in our experience, you really should do this. Fine. I think that's true.
And should consider versus could consider is, I guess in could consider, you could say, no, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Should consider, unless you've got a really good reason you have to think about it.
Right. Move on.
Sure.
Brian. Gozer has needs. Could you meet them?
Okay, again, it should say all working groups, not GNSO working groups.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they're right about prospective. Chuck is right. It is prospective, not perspective.
It's gone.
Okay.
The question of the examples raised by INTA.
I forget what the examples are.
Mailing lists. Public meetings are normally recorded and transcribed, otherwise required from.
Oh, that's what's in the second sentence there. I thought there were further. Well, inter alia doesn't mean examples. It means includes but is not limited to. Maybe they just didn't know what inter alia meant. They're not meant to be examples. They're saying that, you know, including but not limited to mailing lists, public archived.
Well, you know, that's a judgment call. They're saying, well, they on their face don't necessarily mean it's open. And, you know, these are the normal processes that are publicly available.
Yeah, they're getting into that space between transparency and clarity.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I would change is I would say, and SOIs are required from working group participants and will be publicly available. Right? Because we have that, we went through that whole thing about telling them that they're going to be publicly available.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we just stick that there, and, you know, that's a, personally, I think, you know, that's a judgment call. And these are the things where, you know, if we're talking about, what we're talking about is, I just think that's the best we can do. And that's how we've always done transparency and openness. Now, there are those people who would say that we have failed miserably. But that's a judgment call.
As I say, that usually boils down to the clarity argument, which we've had to get into in various places. You know, you give me a data dump, that's not transparent because I have to think.
And can I just say that that's actually the work of a larger issue, and that is being dealt with in an AOC environment.
So let's just move on.
Yep. Unless you want to put in the call out in response, the meaning of inter alia.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh?
6.2.3, since the issue
is this is Rick. I think the first comment of CJA has already been addressed.
Okay.
I think I already changed that because I noted there was a reference to the model guidebook that shouldn't have been there.
Okay. Again, statement of interest, disclosure of interest, we have to wait for those to be defined by the other group, correct?
Yeah.
So once
what is there now in the document is already an updated version, and I think the OSC is going to consider is considering that shortly, so I'll check back with...
Okay, we just want to insert whatever they decide.
Yeah. What is there now is the latest version, so I'll check back with
okay.
you, the staff person, to see whether it's still going to change or whether that's it.
Okay.
So they're using disclosure anyway, yeah.
All right, I do see that the last sentence under disclosure interest starts at GNS working group guidelines.
GNSO policy development process and outcomes, also higher up, but because that's coming from the other group, I'm not sure we can do much about
that.
Yeah,
I don't think we can either. Okay, let's move on.
Doesn't Sabaya's proposed changes work for me and deals with INTA's issues?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next.
So we just put in
Sabaya's change.
Uh-huh.
You may want to wordsmith it a little, but...
So what, where do you want to...
But so it would say, but should feel unconstrained in skipping any sections that are not relevant to, or adding any sections that are specific to figure working graph. However,
the following sections
are generally required. Are required.
Yeah, not generally, just
don't say generally, just are required.
And are we, is that a full list?
We need to check that.
Right. We just need to make sure. I think it is. It's certainly the list that INTA gave us. And
it's working group identification, MIMPAS purpose and deliverables, and statement of interest and disclosure of interest. I'll have to go through before I can. I don't know them.
But INTA has been pretty.
Particular.
Lawyerly about making sure they said everything that needed to be said. And I didn't mean that as a bad thing.
Well, it says EG, so that means for example, so we should look just in case there are others that we may want to include. Okay.
Next. Just to give you a heads up, this is the last one, and I'm actually going to be disconnected in 20 seconds, so you can already talk, and I'm just going to dial back in. I have like an hour and a half on my phone, and then I'll disconnect.
Okay.
It's just this one. This is the last one.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be back in a few seconds. Apologies.
Commitment in practice, the coin is right here. I think what Sabaya's written is within my comfort zone perfectly well.
Yep, sounds good to me. Glad he did
his homework. Oh, we just need Marika back so she can hear what
we're back.
I think the solution is to substitute the first sentence of that first paragraph with the sentence that Sabai has suggested.
Okay.
This is a section 6.2.2.3, which I'm not so sure was in INTA's list.
Is it? 2.3.3, you're right, it wasn't.
I don't think it was. Not having that list in front of me.
No, they did section 2.2.
Yeah, and
section
I would say that
2.3.4.
I see what they've... Yeah, 2.2 and...
Yeah, we need to add it. You're right.
Well, you know, here's what I want to know. Oh, wait just a second. This is a drafter's thing, though. If it's a required, like, section 6.2.1 and 6.2.2, that's everything under that, correct?
So that's it.
So it would be 6.2.1, 6.2.2, and 6.2.3. Get rid of the 4.
Yep.
And so that's, you know.
All of those and everything that works under them.
And we could for the.
Are we sure that they're all required? Everything under them is all required?
Well, we can go through and look, but.
Yeah. Work group definition, mission and purpose. timeline and milestones and disclosure of interests.
I can't get to the document.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'll check it later, but yeah.
Okay. And for the appearance of clarity, we could say like section 6, like 6.2, 6.2.2, 6.2.3, and all associated subsections or something.
That makes it even more sense.
So,
yes, good idea.
So they know that it's inclusive of every subpoint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my heavens.
Okay.
And beautifully timed, Mr. Chairman. Beautifully
yes.
timed.
So we are done.
I got to run. I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So our plan now is to get these final changes into the document and then have it circulated for comment. And were we going to try to have a call next week, Marika?
Yes, that could be the final review. And I don't know if you then, I don't know when you want to do the consensus call before submitting it to the PPSC.
Well, I mean, I think we have to do a consensus call before doing it. My question is, do we want to have a call next week or do we want to have a call on June 3rd?
In principle, the deadline for submission, I mean, I was talking with Charles before, I mean, the deadline for documents for the Brussels meeting is the 31st of May.
Well, that's to the GNSO, right? Not to the PPSC.
No, in principle, it's documents that are being discussed in Brussels.
Okay,
although you could of course argue that, you know, it's not the community that is discussing this document, but it's the PPSC. But
right.
So
why do we want to get into that?
But if it means the difference between meeting next week or not, and where
at
this point.
Yeah, let's do it next week.
Yeah.
So I can get this out to the list, I think, relatively shortly because there are only a few changes. So what I can do is one document that has the, you know, the comments and our call-outs and the track changes.
I would
and then
ask
as well a completely clean version.
Okay. And then I would ask a question, Marika, with regards to them, with regards to any sections in 6 that they believe are important enough that they should be required.
Okay. And should I ask people then to, if they have any further edits, to provide them, you know, close of business by Tuesday so that
yes.
we have a kind
yes.
of final document to review on Wednesday. And
yes.
then you can still have a couple of days for, like, the consensus call to see if
right.
there's any major issues and have it in by to the PPSC by the 31st, basically.
Okay.
That's good. Marika, for the ease of a quick read, which some people might be doing, those sections that we're taking from the other work group,
mm-hmm.
Can we put those sort of in a slightly different font or text or size or just so it's seen that this is, you know, lifted and moved? Otherwise, there'll be a pedant who goes, you don't mention GNSO in the following sections, but you've got it stuck here, 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 and here. And we don't have to respond to that, yeah, well, that's coming from another work group.
Can I maybe put a cursor? Does that work?
Just something to highlight that, you know, this lump is actually quite literally whatever is current from the other work group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can maybe indent. I can try to find a way to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some simple mechanism that just makes it clear.
Okay.
All right.
That's fantastic. Jay Scott, can I ask how old Kitty is?
15.
Oh, wow.
15, and she's just getting old. And
yeah.
I have that. Now, next week, I am in Boston at the INTA meeting, which means that this call for me is going to be at 1 in the afternoon. Okay. I just got to keep it in my head. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jay Scott.
Thanks guys. Thanks, Marika.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.